This is my favorite of the Psalms of Ascents. The gift of the word today, Psalm 130. The psalmist cries, "Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen for the morning. More than watchmen for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is plentiful redemption, and he will redeem Israel from all his iniquities." I love this psalm because it is a very honest cry from the pit. In this psalm, we see the psalmist going from a pit all the way to praise. And just as the Psalms of Ascent were sung as pilgrims journeyed to Jerusalem for the feasts, just as the Psalms of Ascent can be sung by Christians today on our journeys, on all the ups and downs, here even in this psalm we see an ascent from pit to praise. The psalm starts out, literally, in the depths. Out of the depths, I cry to you, O Lord. Have you ever been there, in the depths? What brought you there? We've prayed this morning for those people who are suffering. I can imagine many people in California right now who are missing loved ones or missing their very homes and shelter, crying out from the pit. Out of the pit, out of the depths, I'm crying to you, God, help. The family we prayed for this morning, losing a loved one, even at a time of the year where a lot of families are gathering, could be praying in the pit. I'm in the pit. Lord, help. Lord, have mercy. Lord, let your ears be open. Lord, hear my cry. Whatever kind of suffering you're going through, whatever kind of hurt you've seen, this psalm even has a bit of like a pit of guilt kind of hidden inside of it. The next verses 3 and 4 talk about sin and iniquity, the word iniquity used there. Maybe you're in your own pit that you dug for yourself. Maybe it's a pit of sin and guilt and you feel stuck. And you don't know what to do. And you cry out to God. C.S. Lewis talks about the God-sized hole that every man, every woman has in their heart. Maybe the pit in your life is just a time and a place where you had no room for God and you just felt empty. I say all these things and you know, other people might be coming to mind. How can you share this psalm, this word of hope, with somebody in the pits? Just the brokenness we see around us. Whether it's your own sin or you've seen the destructive path that somebody has taken that has led them into a pit. Not to be judgmental, our master tells us to remove the speck in our eye before we remove the log in our eye before we look at the speck in someone's eye. Whenever we see somebody in a pit of destruction that they caused for themselves, let us step back and humbly evaluate our own lives before we can offer a word of forgiveness and hope for them. And so this psalmist, along with the other people journeying to God, sings this song maybe in the middle of a pit himself. Maybe just as a routine, like a hymn that we sing, a good thing to remind ourselves of. Out of the depths, we can cry to God. Many times in our life, we will cry to God out of the pit. Lord, be attentive to my cry for mercy. Lord, hear me. The first step out of the pit is confession. The psalmist says, O Lord, if you should mark iniquities, as if God had a record of wrongs or something. But if he did, Lord, who could stand? O Lord, if you should mark iniquities, O Lord, if you were to tally our sins, Lord, who could stand before you? All throughout Scripture, there's language of just the brokenness of humanity, how sin has touched all of our lives. It has come out of all of our lives. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned, each of us, to our own way. Isaiah cries out. It's just part of being human. Oh Lord, if you should tally sin, if you should mark this, if you should keep a record book of this, Lord, who could stand? Some religions teach that God does have a list of wrongs, and you just have to have a longer list of rights, and you're all set. A lot of times we get this false idea that God indeed has a list of wrongs. Like he's Santa Claus or something. Like he knows when we're sleeping and when we're awake. He knows when we've been bad or good. So be good for goodness sake. God's all knowing, right? It's not like he doesn't know. But does he keep a record? If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. Just this morning we're talking about forming a habit of giving thanks, being like people of thanksgiving. I think God's habit is forgiving. God has the habit of forgiving. The great revelation from Moses to Israel in Exodus. The great name of the Lord. The Lord passes before Moses and he says, "The Lord, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity, forgiving transgression, forgiving sin." That's part of who God is. He is a forgiver. And then in verse 4, "But with you, Lord, there is forgiveness that you might be feared." And as we've touched on this word several times in these Psalms, it's not something that we're afraid of. But as the NIV says, "But with you there is forgiveness, that we might serve you with reverence." So fearing the Lord, worshiping him, serving him, revering his name. This psalm, the psalmist moves from a pit to praise. He's in the pit, he's confessing his sin. And then, just as sure as sin is in our lives, just as humanity is broken and in need, so God is a forgiver. God is faithful. And so the second half of this psalm, we just focus on the hope that we have. So from confession to hope, I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I hope. What are we really supposed to do? Not that we're supposed to do more good. Not that that's bad. The more we understand and hope in the Lord, the more he transforms us, the more we can live a life of thanks, and good deeds are just part of our life. But we also don't have to do anything. We just have to wait. This image of a watchman waiting all night, keeping watch, providing safety and security, but also waiting for the sun to rise. He says it twice in a poetic way, just waiting like a watchman. Just waiting like a watchman. Our life can be waiting for the Lord, waiting with hope, knowing that indeed there is forgiveness. So what does it look like to wait? I wait for the Lord. My soul, my whole being waits for God. And in his word I hope. This Hebrew psalmist would have thought about the word of forgiveness offered by the priest every year. We can think of the word of the gospel that Christ has died for our sins. That we have forgiveness through him. We can hope in his word. We can wait as we pray. As we pray for those in need. As we pray and cry in our own depths. We wait for answer. We wait for hope. From confession of sin to hope. And then finally the psalm ends with assurance. O Israel, hope in the Lord. People of God, hope in the Lord. For with him there is steadfast love, and with him is plentiful redemption. Echoing his name from Exodus. God, the Lord, merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, forgiving. He will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. In a couple weeks, we start the season of Advent, and we, even as we wait until those days, we remember that the people of Israel were waiting for a long time. They were waiting for a Messiah or somebody to come in and make things right, a right sort of king who wasn't going to mess things up. And then there's this baby, and we wait. And he grows up. And we realize that when it comes to forgiveness and sin, it was nothing that we could have done ourselves. As much as we try, we fail. And so all throughout Scripture, there's this language of the arm of the Lord, that he will, by his own strength and his own arm, that he will come in and he will redeem and he will forgive. And so certainly when we think about the cross of Christ, not to be confused with some pagan notion that we had to sacrifice Jesus to appease some angry God. God, in his love, in his mercy, by his own will, sends his Son out of love. He will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. And at the cross, God chooses to forgive sin. He makes a way for those who hope in him. So as the psalm ends, wherever you're at, whatever kind of pit you might be in, today or tomorrow, whatever kind of pit you see your friends or your loved ones in, whatever kind of pit those that you can offer a word of hope to are in, confess sin, hope in the Lord, wait for him, and be assured that he will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. So in our life as Christians, we look at the cross, we wait, and we move from the pit to praise. So people of God, hope in the Lord, for with him is steadfast love and plentiful redemption, and indeed he will redeem us from our iniquity. Amen.